Welcome to Wellness Wednesday on the Nursing Narrative Podcast. I'm so excited you're here. My name is Dr. Joy DeBellis, and I'm going to talk to you today about lifestyle medicine. I am certified in lifestyle medicine through the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. So you might be thinking, well, that's great, but what is lifestyle medicine? We're going to talk about that briefly today, and know that throughout the year, we're going to spend specific episodes on the six pillars of lifestyle medicine. According to the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, this is a medical specialty that uses therapeutic lifestyle interventions as a primary modality to treat chronic conditions, including but not limited to cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, and even obesity. So lifestyle medicine certified clinicians, like myself, are trained to apply evidence-based, whole-person, prescriptive lifestyle changes to treat, and even when used intensively, often reverse, yes, I said reverse, such conditions. Now, applying the six pillars of lifestyle medicine, a whole food, plant-predominant eating pattern, physical activity, restorative sleep, stress management, avoidance of risky substances, and positive social connections also provides effective prevention for these conditions. I hope just hearing this definition makes you curious, but also hopeful. Lifestyle medicine has the potential to prevent, treat, and reverse many chronic diseases. That is so powerful. The decisions that we make each day really present an opportunity for each of us to improve our health and longevity. Now, I will tell you, if you're here for a quick fix, help me lose 40 pounds in 2 weeks kind of plan, this is not it, okay? But some of these simple changes that you make in the short amount of time can really produce significant health benefits and change your life. The goal of lifestyle medicine is to be the foundation of health and health care. So if you're ready to dig in for 2024 and improve your health, let's talk a little more lifestyle medicine. And like I mentioned before, be sure to tune in throughout the year to learn more about each of these six pillars as we address them in individual podcasts. A little more about lifestyle medicine. Is it a quick fix? Well, yes and no. So you can see changes quickly. Of course, that depends on your definition of quickly, right? But let's think about this. So about 80% of chronic disease is caused by poor lifestyle choices. 80%. So we have some of the most advanced healthcare in America. Yet the health of our nation does not reflect the amount of money we spend yearly. I am so thankful that we have those advances in medications and technology, but guess what? We're still dying and passing away of the same chronic diseases that can be prevented and treated and possibly reversed with lifestyle medicine and choices. So those choices don't come in a pill or a shot or a surgical procedure. They come with education and choices and accessibility, and all those great things we'll talk about throughout the year. So let me briefly introduce the six pillars, and let's look forward to a healthier year in 2024. So let's talk about the first pillar, the whole food, plant-predominant eating pattern. Now, I probably already lost half of you, right? I hope not. So you might be thinking, where do I begin? That seems overwhelming. Now, we'll discuss this more in detail in a later podcast, but I can tell you what not to do or not to start with. If you eat the SAD diet or the standard American diet, please do not switch tomorrow to a completely whole food plant-based diet. First of all, your stomach will not like you. And second, you will most likely not succeed. Now, there's ways to do it, and we'll talk about that more in detail in the podcast dedicated to this pillar. But one thing I do want you to try as soon as possible. Let's say that you eat at a fast food restaurant every day during the week. Let's say you get a hamburger, fries, and Coke. So the next time you go, add lettuce, tomatoes, or any other vegetable option to your burger and stick with that for a week or two or three. And once you become comfortable, Maybe the next time after those 3 weeks, instead of fries, maybe opt for a healthier version of a side item like a side salad or fruit. And then once you feel comfortable, instead of the soft drink, maybe opt for, I don't know, half sweet tea, half unsweetened tea. I mean, we are in Alabama, right? Or water or low-calorie seltzer, something else. Now, I will tell you, most people can make bigger changes than this, right? But if you want to make slow changes that will stick, I want you to think of adding whole food, plant-predominant things to your diet now instead of taking away. I love this quote by Michael Pollan. He's a journalist. He really focuses writing and his research around food. But his quote is, "Eat food, not too much, mostly plants," unquote. Now let's move on to pillar two, which is physical activity. And now I've lost the other half of you, right? I hope not. Now you know, and hopefully you understand, our bodies are really designed and meant to move. I don't know if you've heard, but there's a saying now that sitting or being sedentary has become the new smoking. Overall, especially Americans, we are way too sedentary in our daily lives. And now, when we say physical activity, yes, working out is included, but physical activity can be so much more than a workout at the gym or a walk or a run or aerobics, right? Gardening is an amazing physical activity. So whatever you choose, there are guidelines of how much we should exercise per week. And remember, being physically fit includes that cardiovascular exercise or aerobic exercise. Think walking, running, resistance training or weight training, balance and flexibility. For adults, in regards to physical activity, we should aim for 150 minutes of moderate intensity exercise or 75 minutes of vigorous intensity exercise per week. In the podcast dedicated to physical activity, I'm going to talk about how you figure that out, and especially how you figure out your heart rate zone with that activity. Overall, we should aim for 2 days of weight training. So if you take this 150 minutes per week and break it down, that's really 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week. This is the minimum amount, sorry to let you know, amount that we should be exercising. Now, again, we'll break this down further in the podcast later on about exercise, but this gives you kind of a basis or goal, right, to start with. Make sure you do check with your healthcare provider if you have not begun an exercise routine, and if you're unsure of what to do, check in with a certified personal trainer or even an exercise physiologist that can give you the appropriate guidance. Let's go on to pillar three. Pillar three really revolves around stress management. We live in very stressful times. I don't think you need me to reiterate that. Things in the world are stressful. Things at our job may be stressful. There are financial stressors in our lives, family stressors, all the things. Our bodies are designed to adapt and handle stress pretty well, actually. Typically, when we have a stressful event, our body produces hormones and neurotransmitters and all sort of amazing chemicals to help us get through an acute or kind of a very rapid stressful event. And then our body should calm back down and, if you will, return to a state of ease. Now, the problem in our society is that we are in a constant state of stress, which then moves into a state of chronic stress over and over. So this is not healthy, and honestly is contributing to many of our chronic diseases. Now, the health consequences of chronic stress include impaired immune function, inflammation, decreased bone density, problems with memory, increased appetite, weight gain, abdominal fat, insulin resistance, increased glucose, cholesterol and triglycerides, impaired wound healing, poor sleep, pain and fatigue, poor mood, decreased longevity. Do I need to go on? I think you get the idea. Now, there are many ways in which we can manage our stress, and breathing is a simple way to do so. Are you aware that we rarely take full deep breaths a day? And then we're going to talk more about stress and how to manage stress in a later podcast in the year. But for now, take an assessment of your stress level. Do you feel like you're constantly on the hamster wheel, running circles, but getting nowhere? We have options to help manage our stress, and I can't wait to share those with you later. Let's move on. Pillar 4, sleep. The average U.S. adult sleeps 6 hours and 57 minutes per night, and about 20% sleep less than 6 hours per night. 60 million U.S. adults have frequent difficulty sleeping, and only 10% of those with difficulty sleeping actually seek out medical attention. We know that healthy sleep duration and quality promotes improved health. In other words, if you don't get enough sleep, your health will suffer. I want to let you know, if anyone listening is suffering with insomnia or lack of sleep, please talk to your healthcare provider where they can perform various sleep assessments to see exactly what's going on. Now, one way to start promoting better sleep is to do some sleep hygiene. This is simple. Make sure the bed is used for sleep. Don't make the bed the catch-all for your life. Checking emails, working, doing taxes, scrolling on social media, eating, crafting, whatever. Your body should understand and your brain should understand that the bed is a place of rest. We're going to talk more tips, right, and more on sleep in a separate podcast later in the year. But if you're suffering from sleep issues, again, please talk with your healthcare provider as soon as you can. Another tip you can take, set a bedtime routine and a wake time. It may take your body time to respond, but don't give up. Let's move on to Pillar 5. Pillar 5, we talk about treating tobacco use disorder as well as managing other toxic exposures. I know most of you understand about smoking, but I want to read something to you that's really important to know. Tobacco is the single largest preventable cause of morbidity and mortality in the U.S. I'm going to say it again. Tobacco is the single largest preventable cause of morbidity and mortality in the U.S. So when we compare smokers in research to people who have never smoked, smokers have more health problems and disability and have a life expectancy at least 10 years shorter. Tobacco products kill one of every two people who use them. There are numerous health effects of smoking, and I think most of you know what those are. The challenge is that nicotine is the most common form of chemical dependence in the U.S. The good news? We've got effective treatments, but it often requires repeated treatment. It takes an average of 6 quit attempts before long-term abstinence, but I have no doubt you can do it if you're struggling with smoking. 70% of cigarette smokers really want to quit smoking. We also talk about excessive alcohol use and even alcohol use disorder within this pillar. We know the more alcohol that is consumed, the greater the risk, and there are numerous health consequences related as well. Unfortunately, illicit drug use is on the rise in the U.S. as well. And what is included in illicit drugs? Well, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, or SAMHSA, defines illicit drugs as marijuana, cocaine, crack, heroin, hallucinogens, inhalants, and the non-medical use of prescriptive pain relievers, tranquilizers, and sedatives. We have witnessed, and unfortunately many of you personally have witnessed, family members torn apart by substance use disorder, especially opiates. We're going to discuss these challenges in a full podcast later on in the year, but please know, if you're struggling with a substance use disorder, please reach out to your family, to a friend, more importantly, a healthcare provider as soon as possible, anyone. Please know there is help available. Let's move on to Pillar 6, social connections. We will have a full podcast on the importance of social connection, and no, I don't mean social media connection. Sorry, this is human connection. Here's an interesting fact. The single most important predictor of happiness and longevity is having social connections. Unfortunately, we live in what some call a time of loneliness or a crisis of loneliness. We might feel, and I'm doing air quotes here, we might feel connected by social media, the news, all the business of the day today, but we are less connected to people than we were, say, 30 years ago. Now, there are some benefits of social media, no doubt, and it's time to start putting the phone down and spend time with others. I encourage you to read or watch documentaries on the blue zones. Blue zones are regions in the world where people are claimed to live longer than average, and these areas have more people over the age of 100 in their communities than any other area in the world. It's pretty fascinating, but social connectiveness is one of their common goals or common cores in the blue zone. Social connectedness helps us feel more positive, more energized, and supports healthy outcomes and optimal well-being. Now we must decide and choose who we spend our time with wisely. And we'll talk about that more in a full podcast on social connection later in the year. But why not make a goal in the next week or two to call up that friend or colleague, family member, someone you just want to get to know better and make some time to do the things you love or just hang out for an hour or two. You might be surprised of how much good that will do you. I am so excited to bring you the Wellness Wednesdays, especially the podcast related to lifestyle medicine. I am excited to share and hopefully go on this journey with you to a healthier 2024. Now, as we dive deeper into each pillar throughout the year, our podcast, don't forget, changing your lifestyle is about consistency, not perfection. And I suggest you kind of choose one area to change over time. I think we make a mistake in the new year of making too many resolutions, and we get frustrated and may not attain any of them. So let's make small goals. And we'll also talk about those goals or resolutions and making them SMART, S-M-A-R-T goals. And I'll also provide some realistic tips and ideas to help you improve your life. So be sure to tune into our other podcast on the Nursing Narrative throughout the month. We really appreciate your support. Thank you again for listening. I'm Dr. Joy DeBellis for the Wellness Wednesday podcast.